So, as I was going to say, I think the most appropriate thing right now would be to begin our recording as we begin our message. And I apologize to those who listen on the for the call. We had some brief conversations with our members in community, but there was not a great deal of the information shared. So you missed a little, but not a lot, and I will make sure that you get everything that we were supposed to say today. It looks like today we're going to continue speaking where we left off last time about the importance of forgiveness as an act of freedom to oneself and a giving of freedom to others. You know, if you focus upon freedom in the act of forgiving, it's so much easier to let go of the grievances, to let go of the hurt. Just focus upon the concept of freedom. Everybody wants that. We all want that. And we find it pursued in so many different ways. The people who came to this country and then founded this nation were seeking freedom. People who immigrated to Australia, New Zealand, other newly discovered lands in the New World, Mexico, South America, lots of lands that had not ever been explored on a global basis, even though they had their own indigenous people. We moved around the planet looking for freedom. And you can tell by the letters of the founders and the letters of people that moved here and wrote back to the old country how they had lost their grievances. Just to give you an example, many of the Irish that came here in the 19th century came to the United States as a result of the catastrophic potato famine that killed so many people, literally of starvation, and starvation that was not complemented by any efforts on the part of the wealthy or the noble or the Irish government to help them in any way to provide employment or food. They were desperate. They came here. Sometimes after losing most of their family. And then when they wrote back, you can read some of the old letters and you find their enthusiasm for the new world so far exceeds any hurt and loss and pain they endured that all they can talk about to their family and friends is the hope they now feel. And this is after terrible loss, terrible grief, terrible hurt, and tyrannical abuse and neglect. Yet, when they arrived in a world with freedom, all they could feel was hope. This is what Yeshua came to give us, is the freedom of a whole new world, not defined by continents or oceans we have to cross, but defined by a higher elevation of consciousness, a higher elevation of love, a higher elevation of community, a community in which we love one another, in which we support one another. We lead one another to higher plateaus of achievement and aspiration, and we support each other in making bigger waves and better accomplishments in the world, because we know it's going to benefit everybody. A world in which there isn't any jealousy over achievement. There's just everybody rooting for you, wanting you to get there. knowing that whatever you achieve will have collateral opportunities for everyone else. Everyone's achievement is everyone's achievement. I remember the days when no one had run, I've forgotten what the benchmark is on, I think it was a 3-minute mile. All of a sudden I catch myself unprepared, but I think you get the drift of what I'm saying. This was an Olympic accomplishment when no one had run that far that fast. And I don't remember the exact benchmark, but no one had ever done it before. After that, runner after runner after runner began to achieve that benchmark. They got it. And then it was nothing in the next Olympics. They had to raise the bar. They had to raise the goal and the expectations. This happens in every one of the Olympic Games, regardless of the sport. Whether it's high diving or running, whether it's pole vaulting or whatever, ice skating, every time they have to advance the goals, because we all get better from each person who pushes forward. And I am looking around the world every day at how many books that are coming out talking about love is who you are. In 1991, when Yeshua spoke those words to me, I had never read them anywhere before. And I was a very, very well-read person. Oh, I'd read all sorts of things about unconditional love, loving one another, that love lifts us all up. Sure, there's probably never been anything more written about than love. But love is who you are. In fact, it was such a strange concept that for the first 10 or 15 years of teaching it, it was the most common question that anyone asked me in a seminar. Glenda, can you tell me a little more about what this means, love is who you are? It's kind of strange. I don't get it. It was that strange. It was that new. Now you hear it everywhere, which is wonderful. It's wonderful. And whatever you achieve, others will achieve behind you. They will get it. They will move it forward. And so before we leave the subject of forgiveness, I want to loop back one more time to what it feels like. Instead of focusing on what you're forgiving, to focus on the freedom you're now getting and the hope that comes along with that freedom. Move into the hope. Move into the freedom. And wish for others to move into the freedom. Let's face it, everyone. This is a painful world. It's a hurtful world. If you really go there and if you stay there, it can be. It can be a catastrophic world if you want to go to all the way to that level and into some places that are just riddled with war and hatred and starvation and disease. You could find it. You could go find that place on this world. It's there. But is that what you want? Is it what you want? Maybe, perhaps, as a missionary, you would want to go there to help others, but you'd be wanting to help them out of it, not help them perpetuate it. No one would want that, unless it was some evil, dark-hearted person wanting to exploit the condition. And I guess we've got some of those too. But God help them out of that state of mind. And you know how we help them out of that state of mind? By helping ourselves outside of that state of mind. You have to first climb out of it yourself. And then you help as many others climb out of it as you can. Just as there were new lands to travel to 300, 400 years ago, even 200 or even 100 years ago. There have always been new continents of thought to travel to, new levels of consciousness to explore, new radiance of light within yourself, new depths of compassion and understanding within your heart. See, I look at the heart as being as deep as the universe is wide. This is where we scuba dive into the depths of possibility. It's as if we go into infinite space within. There is no end to infinite space. And we are that infinite space when we move into the Sacred Heart. There is nothing we cannot conceive. And anything we conceive, we can achieve. It's built that way within us. This is why we are children of God and not just creatures of the universe. As creatures of the universe, we would have our birth, our youth, hopefully joyful and healthy and creative. We would have our aspirations. We would make our mark in the world. We would build, hopefully, some kind of loving, supportive community. And then we would pass it on to the next generation, and that would be the end of it. But as children of God, we are so much more than that. We are partakers of infinity within and infinite possibilities without, on the outside, facing outward into the domain of freedom. So what do you want? Do you want to stay trapped or do you want to be free? And freedom really has to be freedom for it to be truly, truly free. Let me give you an idea of freedom that's not freedom. It's something I experienced a number of decades ago when I was teaching at the university. Well, two universities, Tulane University and the University of Oklahoma. I'm sure you've heard this term, tenure. And it's something that professors compete for, and you either get it or you don't get it. If you don't get it, generally you're dismissed because teachers that fail to get tenure can be a source of unhappiness and disgruntlement on the faculty. But if you get it, you have a lifetime contract with the university. And with the exception of a few acts of criminality or treason, but they're pretty high crimes, with the exception of those crimes, you simply cannot be fired. And the reason for that, originally and theoretically, is to provide intellectual freedom so that you cannot be threatened by your peers or your superiors to inhibit what you want to research or express or explore or declare, that you believe something is true and worthy of study. So, in other words, tenure was designed to remove suppression, inhibition, and restraint from the projects of research and teaching. In other words, to provide intellectual freedom. But I have to tell you, I've never been in an environment with less freedom. And my husband had tenure. I was not a candidate for tenure. I was part-time. I was a part-time instructor, not full-time. So I was not a candidate for tenure, so it didn't matter that I got it or didn't. I just kept on teaching. But he was tenured, but he was under so much pressure to justify that tenure. And the politics, oh my gosh, Washington, D.C. hasn't seen the politics of an American university. It is anything but free. And so we've talked about other environments that we thought were free, but they're not. We've moved to places where we thought they were free, but they weren't. I know you've had those experiences. There's nothing in the deeper densities of this world, of this earth, that are free for long. We talk about free enterprise, but is it? Look at all the paperwork, the taxes, the competition. It's not exactly free. Where do we find freedom? We find freedom with God. We find freedom in the depths of our heart, our true heart. We find freedom at higher, much, much, much higher levels of consciousness. This is where we go to experience freedom. Yeshua led us to those places so that we could experience heaven on earth. He said, I am in the world, but not of the world. And that's because he lived truly at a higher level of consciousness, a higher level of love, a higher level of light and life, immortal, eternal light. Immortal, eternal life. In relation to what I was going to say for Tina when she asked her question about patterns and how do we intercept negative patterns, well, the first thing to say is there is nothing more gripping than a negative pattern. And many times, if you really look at what a negative pattern is all about, it didn't start out to be negative. Let's just say that it's a pattern you have with your family, a relationship pattern. It's not healthy what you're doing. But at one point in time, it served a purpose. When it became negative, let's identify when it became negative. It became negative when it got a grip on you and you had to keep doing things that way, no matter what. And then, way more than that, it began to play out unconsciously so that even when you weren't intending to play into that pattern, all of a sudden you found yourself in it. And you said, holy cow, I cannot believe I've actually fallen into this again. That I'm actually doing this again. This pattern, it's crazy. Well, the real answer to all of that is more freedom in your life. Freedom conquers patterns. It conquers all of them. Every single one of them. In the meantime, the best other remedy is to form positive patterns and stick with them. Really, really stick with the positive patterns and stick with them until they begin to grab you. If a positive pattern begins to grab you, then insert some freedom. Say, okay, this Saturday, I'm not doing that. This Saturday, I'm going to the park. I've always gone to the coffee shop and visited my friends, but we're starting to talk about the same old things. The same people are showing up, and we're starting to fuss about so-and-so who dropped out and doesn't show up anymore. I'm not going this Saturday because I feel like it's not benefiting me like it used to. Insert some freedom. Then you can go back in a week or two and see how it feels to you. Maybe that little piece of freedom is all you needed. Try eating something you haven't eaten before. Try thinking a thought you haven't tried to think before. Or that you haven't let yourself think before. Like, well, just maybe there is something good in this city that I used to just, I just hated to live there. But I'd like to have some good memory about it. Let me think. There has to be something good. Maybe what that good was is it made me appreciate how much better I like being where I am now. In other words, it was a good teacher. Sometimes negative experiences are just that. They're good teachers. They point us in a better direction. They're a bulldog keeping us from going deeper into a world of negativity that we might have been headed for. So bless them and say thank you. Learn my lesson. I don't belong in that place. That wasn't my place. I'm going somewhere else. I'm doing something else. How many things have you tried to do that you didn't like? That's okay. Don't consider it a failure. Consider it an experience. The fact is we're always having an experience. And those experiences are good, or they're bad, or they're boring, or they're indifferent, something we can be indifferent to. In fact, we can be almost numb to the fact that we're having them, and we don't realize that even the ones that make us numb, it's an experience. Well, wake up and notice that you are having an experience and make a decision about it. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Do you want to change it? I think a lot of the negative patterns we form that drift down into the unconscious level were formed when we were just too bored to realize that we were having an experience we didn't like at a time when we still could have changed it, and we didn't. But it's never too late to change it. You can. You can move into that experience. You can make a change. You can make a change for the better. And it all begins with deciding, what do you want? What would you like to experience? What would you like to have? What would you like to receive? And this now loops back to what we've been talking about for the last 5 weeks, and that's receiving. It's very, very difficult to receive when you don't know that you want something. It's very difficult to receive when you become so numb that you can't feel what you're receiving. Wake up. And when I say wake up, I'm not talking about some mountaintop experience, as in spiritual awakening. I'm just talking about the ordinary experience of waking up and realizing that you sat in this chair too long. Your feet are going to sleep. You're getting numb on your backside. You haven't taken a deep breath in 30 minutes. That kind of wake up. Start waking up to the life you're living. And notice the fact that you're having some kind of experience. Is that the experience you want? You're living, you're spending your life on it. We've only got so many minutes to live in this physical incarnation. Even if you're completely assured of your immortality, still, you've only got so many moments to be here physically. Are you doing what you want to do? And you might say, well, Glenda, you know, I can't really be doing what I truly want to be doing. I'd love to be on some tropical island bathing in the sun. And here I am on my back porch, and it's noisy, and there's a motorcycle running by, and blah, it goes on and on and on. No, I can't have what I want, so I'm not going to want anything. Stop that right now. That's a pattern. And that's a pattern that needs to stop. You can start improving the patterns in your life. First of all, you don't have to be outside when the motorcycles are going by. You can be inside. You can be feeling your feelings. You can have music playing. You could be eating better food. You could be choosing the people you spend your life with. Be aware of the experience you're having, as you are appreciative of every experience. Every experience gets better and better and better. As you contribute to the betterment of every experience, it gets better and better and better. And by focusing on experience and focusing on freedom, you simply break through patterns that have been holding you back. Now, there are other ways of doing this. Yes, there are. And we'll talk about those in the future. But we're at the end of our time for today. So let's just, for now, focus upon feeling the experience you're in. So let's get into our position for our blessing. Feel the chair you're sitting in. Take a deep breath and really feel it. Really feel it. Stretch your arms. Stretch your legs, your neck. And then put them into a comfortable position. And feel them being relaxed. Feel your body sitting in the chair. Feel your breath. Know that this is what you want to be doing right now. This is you right now. This is you being the love that you are right now. This is you being ready to receive right now. Here you are. In your heart. Be open in your heart. And let us begin. Dear Yeshua, thank you for all, not just by words, but by example, that you came here, that you were here as one of us to show us that, yes, in this life, in the midst of people who are hurting and sick and starving in a war-torn country, you can still love, be loved, and be the love that you are. You can still be healed. You can still love one another. You can still choose your experiences. You can still choose the life you live. For whatever length of life it is, you can imbue it with quality. You came to show us by example that the reward of doing that is life immortal, life transcendent, a higher consciousness that is so worth living, so worth reaching for, that is so ennobling and so perfecting of a human soul. Thank you for showing us these things. And thank you for being with each one of us now and being in each one of us, as each one of us, to be with us receiving the very blessings that you give. We thank you for this and more things than we can ever imagine. Until we see it all perfectly, we embrace you with our heart and our love in faith. Amen. Begin your prayer, and the blessing givers and I will offer the blessing. The blessing conveyance is complete. Now go and rest and assimilate what has been given to you by the Holy Spirit, by Christ, and God the Father. Be well and know that you're loved. Until we meet again. Bye-bye for now.